Well, we're back in the book of Ruth, second chapter, second lesson of our study. Oftentimes, and if not oftentimes, sometimes certainly, people know us before they meet us because our reputation precedes us. So it's important to have a good reputation. What we do matters. The benefit of that's demonstrated in our text this evening in Ruth chapter 2, where we read of Ruth finding favor with an important person because her reputation of mercy and selflessness had preceded her. And that's certainly a lesson I think we have, a lesson of a very practical nature from our passage, but there's far more here than a lesson in the practical benefits of building a good reputation. Chapter 2 is a lesson on God's faithfulness, how He blesses those who take refuge in Him. That's what we're challenged with really quite frequently. Are we going to trust the Lord, or are we going to trust in our own abilities to do things, our own ability to figure things out? Are we going to live by God's revelation or live by our wits? And I think what we have here is an example of what happens when we trust the Lord and simply go forward in obedience to Him, when we take refuge in Him. Now that was especially a blessing for Ruth when she came to Israel with Naomi, because they were living in tough times. Ruth, as we pointed out last week, was living in the days of the judges, when Israel was like the Wild West, when there was no king in Israel and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, that was true generally, but not of one man, at least the man we come into contact with in our text this evening. We learn in the book of Ruth that there was one man who displayed loving kindness. There's one man who showed righteousness, one man who had the character of God. And the Lord was able to put Ruth and Naomi under His care. What all of this shows is that even when times are difficult, when times are even dangerous, God is greater than any danger, and He's able to provide. The chapter begins with His provision for these two widows. Verse 1, now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Boaz is a name that means strength, and he's described here as a man of great wealth. Part of that phrase, man of great wealth, is the Hebrew word gibor, which was an important word in the book of Judges, an important word at this time in Israel's history, because it had the sense of a warrior. It was used of the warriors. And yet it's also used of a man of property and position. That seems to be the sense of it here. Boaz was a man of strength. Boaz was a man of influence, a man of great wealth, as he's described. He was a relative also of Naomi. And that was all part of God's plan. And we see that unfold very clearly in the rest of the book. And what it shows us also is God is way ahead of us. We think we're on our own, and there are things already prepared in our path, and we don't even realize it. And so was the case with these two women. We find that provision here in this book, and what we find in our own experience is those provisions made for us as we walk in simple obedience to the Lord. Ruth did that. She acted in obedience. We see that right at the beginning. She was a person of action. I think we learn that about her character as we read through all of this book. Chapter 1, she follows after Naomi. She was diligent about that. We certainly see it in chapter 2. She was a person of action. When she knew what needed to be done, she did it. And since she and her mother-in-law faced starvation, they're living on the fringe of survival, she went to work. Trusting the Lord often involves waiting on the Lord. And I think that's principle that's preached quite a bit at Believer's Chapel. Wait upon the Lord. That's a difficult thing to do. But that's certainly part of trusting Him. Simply waiting upon Him. But that doesn't mean idleness. Ruth was an able-bodied person and she knew what her responsibility was. She was responsible to find food for this little family of theirs. And she decided to do that in the way that was open to her, and that was to go out to the fields and glean. The poor people in Israel did that. Men would reap grain with sharp sickles, and women would follow them, picking up the stalks and binding them together, putting them in bundles. And then gleaners would follow the women and were allowed to pick up the grain that had been left behind. And so this is what they would do. This was God's way of providing, actually, for the poor. They didn't have a safety net as we do in our society. This was sort of the safety net. This was the command given in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 24 of how to provide for the poor. Farmers were to allow the poor to do that. It was God's provision, and she knew that, and so this is what she went to do. And yet, you think about it, that could not have been an easy thing for someone like Ruth. She is called here Ruth the Moabitess in verse 2. It's a reminder of who she is in this land. She's an alien. She is a foreigner in a foreign land and trying to make a new life for herself. That is a difficult thing for anyone to do. It was difficult for her, and she's doing it in hard times. So it couldn't have been an easy thing. It was intimidating, I would assume, but she was ready to do it, which was not only an act of courage, it was an act of faith. She told Naomi in, I think, a rather deferential way, almost as a request, that she was going to the fields to glean, but hoped that she would glean, she says, after one in whose sight she might find favor. That was her hope, but I think we have expressed in that hope a prayer that she must have uttered, and it certainly was a prayer. It's what she is looking to happen and praying for within her heart. These were tough times. She needed help. She knew that. That's what she expresses here. Not fortitude. I think she had that. I think she had courage, but that's not what's expressed here. This is faith in the Lord, that He would provide her with favor. Naomi gave her blessing. Go, my daughter, she said, and Ruth went courageously but hopefully to glean, a foreigner among the reapers. And in verse 3, we read, she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened to come there. That doesn't mean that this was by chance. This is by providence. I think I mentioned that last week, but we see it again here. All through this book, we see the providence of God. It's not stated this is providence. You just see it in the events that unfold. Boaz was a relative. Boaz was a close relative, we see. A man of wealth, and she happened to come to his field. Well, as I said, the Lord is always way ahead of us. And we see that here. We simply need to trust Him and to walk in obedience to Him. And things happen. To us, they may seem to be happening by chance. The reality is they happen by providence. He guides our steps. In fact, there's a good passage to underscore that. Psalm 37, verse 23. David writes, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled down headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. He establishes our steps. We walk in obedience. He makes them effective. He guides us along. So she went in obedience. She went to do what she needed to do, provide for herself and for Naomi. She went to the field and worked, and she worked diligently, and later in the day, she was noticed. Boaz came from his home in Bethlehem. He greeted the reapers. Then he asked, whose young woman is this? And he was told that she was the Moabite woman who had returned with Naomi. She asked if she could glean, and she was given permission, and they tell Boaz that she'd worked all day. The foreman was impressed with her, with her modesty. He was impressed with her hard work. She had only just allowed herself to rest. That seems to be what he's saying to Boaz in verse 7. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. She's just rested for a little bit of time. And so he's impressed with what he has seen in Ruth, the diligence that she showed. And you see this in the Old Testament on various occasions where diligence is a real virtue. Now, we know that's a virtue. We should. Working hard, being diligent. But you see it in some women. And what this recalls to me is in Genesis 24 when Abraham sends his servant out to find a wife for Isaac, and he comes to Haran and he prays about this and prays that as he comes to this well that the Lord would show him the right woman. And it's just as he's praying that Rebekah comes from the well, and she has a jar of water on her shoulder, and she asks him, she's hospitable to him, if he needs a drink, she serves him water, and then she serves his camels, and she is described as running back and forth from the well to the camels to water all of the camels. And he's watching this and seeing this virtue of diligence and hospitality in her. And here we see this same response of this foreman, this worker to whom Boaz is speaking. He's very impressed with Ruth and her diligence. That shows her character. Well, Boaz already knew something of her character. He'd heard many things about Ruth. Probably a lot of the people in Bethlehem, which is a small community, knew all about her. In fact, you remember when she comes back at the end of chapter 1, there's this kind of buzz among the women that it's Naomi. She's returned, and they're all talking about her, and she's speaking about how difficult her experience had been. So he greets Ruth in verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Well, this greeting, "my daughter," suggests something that we actually see very clearly in the next chapter, and that is that Boaz was a number of years older than Ruth, and here, evidently, considers himself her guardian. He wants to take her, as it were, under his wing, and he wanted her in his field, in his province of protection. And he gave her privileges, like drinking from his well. The instruction he gave to the young men not to touch her suggests something about the danger even in Boaz's fields, the danger that was typical of this time. It was a rather rowdy time in which to live. And so he's instructing the young men not to touch her, not to do anything that would be harmful to her. So Boaz took it upon himself to provide Ruth with protection. He sees himself as her guardian immediately. And Ruth responded with gratitude in verse 10. She fell on her face and said, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" It's interesting, her attitude and response to Boaz. She didn't feel that she was entitled to anything because of who she was or what she'd done, because of the sacrifice that she'd made for Naomi, or because she was poor or disadvantaged. She felt unworthy and was really overwhelmed by the kindness that Boaz had shown to her, who was at least at this point a stranger to her and she to him. I find a lot of virtue in just that response on her part, and a spiritual example or illustration of how we're to be. In fact, that is actually reflected in one of the parables that the Lord told in Luke 17. about these worthy slaves and how they respond. They're faithful to their master, but they say to their master, when he's praising them, "We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." That's the attitude that a child of God should have. If we were to live a perfect life, never sin, always obey, and go beyond that to be a blessing to others, still, we would say with these servants in that parable in Luke 17, we've done only that which we ought to have done. Doesn't deserve praise, doesn't deserve a reward, and yet God gives us that, and He gives us infinitely more because He is like that. And Boaz is like that. That's something about his character. Ruth is saying, "I'm unworthy of all that you're doing." But Boaz is the kind of man that took care of others. That's his nature and that's his character. She's humble. I think we see that he is as well. And he's of a mind to take care of those in need. Now, he found a reason for this kindness toward her, in her. She was like those faithful servants in Luke 17. She did much, and she certainly served her mother-in-law, Naomi, selflessly. And he recalls this. He recalls her reputation and how her reputation had preceded her. Verse 11, Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know." Now what he's describing here is really the response of her saving faith, the evidence of her faith. She's very much like Abraham. Go back to, again, the book of Genesis for an illustration of her character and what she's like. You remember that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans. He went out. In fact, the author of Hebrews describes that in Hebrews 11, verse 8. He went out not knowing where he was going. But I think what the author of Hebrews means, he knew where he was going. He knew Canaan, but he'd never been there. He didn't know anything by experience of that land. He didn't know what awaited him, and he went. And it's the same with Ruth. She did not know Israel in the sense that she'd never been there before, but she went. She left home, she left her parents, her family, everything she knew, and she followed. It was an act of faith. And, of course, she went as an act of faith, trusting in the Lord to make her way safe, to establish her footsteps, and to provide for her. She trusted in the Lord. She sought refuge under the Lord's wings. That's a majestic description that Boaz gives. Actually, he says in verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." So when she left the land that she knew so well for a land that she did not know, at least that she'd never seen, she'd heard about it, but she'd never been there, she was trusting the Lord. She was, as it were, putting herself under His wings. That's really a magnificent description of the care that the Lord gives us, a description of what we receive when we trust in Him and look to Him every day. He shelters us. The picture that's given here is one that the Lord picks up on later. He speaks in a similar way, but here it pictures a mother bird sheltering her young from the storm. And Boaz may have taken this picture that he uses to describe her trust in the Lord from the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, where Moses spoke of God as an eagle that stirs up its nest that hovers over its young. That's what the Lord is for us. That's what He does for us. He'll stir up the nest, protect us, teach us to fly, as it were, watch over us, protect us from the storm. We are under the shelter of His wings, and this is how she began her life. She left her life of faith as she left Moab, came to Israel. She trusted the Lord, put herself under His care. And when Ruth was in Moab, this is the decision she made, and He has provided for her. The Lord's done all of this. He's done all of this for Ruth in a providential way. He brought the glowing reports of Ruth to Boaz that inclined him to favor her. The Lord directed his eyes as he came out to the field. He wasn't coming out to see Ruth. He came out to see the work that was going on in his field, and the Lord directed his eyes to this woman. The Lord's in control of these things, just as he is in our life. Ruth had told Naomi that she hoped that she might find favor. That was really her prayer. And it's an unexpressed prayer, but no doubt it's the prayer of her heart, the burden of her heart that the Lord sees, and the Lord answered it. And she probably hadn't dared to imagine that it would be answered as it was, a Moabite woman, I should say a lowly Moabite woman, as she considered herself, shown mercy by this Gibor, this great man. But that's what the Lord does. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he does exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And here's this woman just going out, taking the opportunity that's given to her to glean and gain something to provide herself and Naomi with in terms of sustenance. And the Lord blesses all of her steps and all that she does. Now, all of this was a surprise to Ruth. It happened to her, as the author wrote. It seemed, from the face of it, to be all of chance. So she's surprised by it, and she responds to the Lord's answer to her hope and her prayer with genuine humility and gratitude in verse 13. Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now, there are two reasons given for her gratitude that she expresses here to Boaz. First of all, he comforted her. It means he calmed her emotionally. He relieved the stress that she must have had. She must have had some anxiety as well as Naomi, but he's given relief to that. She's not worried. And secondly, he had spoken kindly to her, which literally is a Hebrew colloquialism. It means literally to speak on the heart. He had paid close attention to her, even though she says, in all her humility, she's not even one of his maidservants. So she considers herself on the lowest social level, and I suppose that is true. She's a gleaner. She's following the women who are bundling the stalks of grain, and she's living as a poor person, and she's a foreigner. Well, she is on the lowest social level. She's an alien and a Moabite, yet she was blessed with kindness. Now, I think whether she's describing herself explicitly as it or not, she certainly is a debtor to mercy alone. She could certainly sing that hymn. In verse 10, she was amazed that he paid attention to her since she was a foreigner. Now she's amazed that he cares for her in spite of her social standing. Now, Boaz did that because he's a man of character. And I think we see in Boaz here the character of our Lord, whose mercy is not limited to any group of people, any race or class. It includes all. And Boaz showed even more kindness. He invited her. We see this exchange in verses 14 through 17. He invited her to share the noon meal with himself and his reapers, which was a simple meal, bread, wine, vinegar, and roasted grain. And Boaz not only invited her to sit down and have a meal with them, he served her. Well, sharing a meal together was done not only to satisfy one's hunger or to get nourishment. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of relaxation and joy. The fact that Boaz shared that occasion with these people says a great deal about him. You know, indirectly, we sort of learn about these people and what kind of people they were, their humility, their integrity, their righteousness. And here's a man who shared this occasion of socializing with these workers of his. It indicates, again, the kind of man that he was and the good relationship that he had with them. He wasn't something just as an overlord who worked these people. He was one with them, and he joined with them. And you see that in his relationship with them, and then you see the grace here that he extended to Ruth. As a result, she was able to eat until she was satisfied and even had some left over. So he'd given her an abundance of food for lunch, and it satisfied her greatly, but his kindness still was not finished. When she went back to the fields, Boaz was going to take care of her even more. He made a special provision for her. He told his servants in verses 15 and 16 to let her glean among the sheaves. In other words, not just pick up the grain that falls as these ladies come and bundle it up, but she was to be right there in the reaping when it happened, where the grain would be much more plentiful. And no one was to take offense at her being there, even though she didn't have what would appear to be a rightful place. He says they're not to insult her, they're not to correct her, they're not to rebuke her. In fact, they were to encourage her and do that by leaving stalks of grain on the ground that she could find. So they're to bind these grains up and then leave some for her. That's an added bonus for her kindness to Naomi. I don't think we are to do things for one another for what we'll get out of it. But here's the reality. If we live in obedience and we live a selfless life, God takes care of us. He honors that. He blesses that. And we can say with those servants in Luke 17, we've only done what we should do. There's nothing to be rewarded in that. We're just doing what we ought to do. But the Lord blesses in spite of that. He blesses even though He's not obligated to do that in and of himself. And he's doing that with her. Because of the kindness she'd shown to Naomi, it comes back and is a blessing. In the evening, when she was finished, we're told in verses 18 through 20 that she beat out the stalks of grain that she had gathered and separated the grain from the chaff and had, we're told, about an ephah of barley. Now, these are biblical weights and measures, and we're not real clear on what they amounted to, but it's estimated that an ephah would be 29 pounds to 50 pounds. That's quite a spread. But whatever it was in that range is a lot more than a normal gleaning would have gained for a person in a single day. It was a lot for her. It was a lot for both of these women. So as a result of Boaz's kindness and provision for her, she had enough to last her and Naomi several weeks. She carried it home, which must have been difficult. If it was the maximum amount, if it was 50 pounds, that's quite a bit for someone to carry, particularly at the end of a long day of hard work. And that would have been difficult work for her. But I think that the joy that she felt from the kindness that had been extended to her and what had resulted from it, the provision that had been made, must have lightened the load quite a bit. When she got back to Bethlehem and set all of this down in front of Naomi, she shared the leftovers with her from her lunch. So Ruth's a very frugal kind of person. She doesn't waste anything, and I suppose none of us would if we're living in hard times like that. And Naomi was astonished by what she learned. At the end of chapter 1, you remember, Naomi told the women of Bethlehem that she had left the city, she had left the town some 10 years earlier, full, and now she had returned empty. And she was bitter from that. Now suddenly, her house is full of food, and she's full of hope. So in verse 19, she pronounced a blessing on the owner of the field after asking who it was. When she learned that it was Boaz, her hope must have increased. Verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." That description here of Boaz being a relative, one of our closest relatives, is translated in the New International Version. Some of you may be reading from that. One of our kinsmen redeemers. That seems to me to be a more accurate description, kinsman redeemer. That's an important person in the family, at least in the family of an Israelite, the kinsman redeemer. And it's a very important expression and role in the book of Ruth. This is the first place that's mentioned in Ruth, but it's very important to this book. Can't understand it apart from the kinsman redeemer, who he was and what he did. His responsibilities were to make things right in the family. And so that took on various responsibilities. He was to avenge a murder. And so he would pursue the murderer till he found him, or unless the murderer could make it to one of the cities of refuge. But he was to establish justice. He was to buy back the family property that was sold, or buy back a family member who had been sold into slavery. So the kinsman redeemer is very important. And as it will turn out in this book, with this kinsman redeemer, there's also the Levirate law that was something a near relative was to engage in. It's not attributed to a kinsman redeemer when you read the responsibilities, for example, in the book of Numbers or the book of Leviticus, that neither of those books speak about the levirate marriage, but a levirate marriage was arranged so that when, say, a woman's husband died and he died before they had children, the brother was to marry her and raise up children to the memory of the deceased brother so that his name would continue and the property could stay within the family, which is the inheritance of that family. And so that too will be a responsibility of this kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Well, Ruth hears all of these things that Naomi is saying, that this man is a very important man. He's our kinsman redeemer, but she didn't ask what that meant. She was still telling Naomi about the favorable instructions that Boaz had given to her, how he told her to stay close to his maids through the harvest, and then Naomi urged her to do that. Remember, the days of the judges, these are evil days, they were dangerous days, and so the chapter ends, verse 23, so she stayed close to the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Well, what an amazing turn of events for these two destitute women who came back empty with really no earthly possessions and no earthly prospects of being full. But Ruth did what she needed to do. She acted. She went out to work, not knowing what she'd find, not knowing how much she'd be able to bring home, not knowing all of the obstacles that she would face or if there'd be anyone there that would look after her, not knowing that she would find favor. She simply acted in faith, trusting the Lord to take care of her, and she found favor. She did what was difficult but necessary. She obeyed, and in her obedience, as she lived by faith, as she acted, she was blessed. So, do you want to find favor? Then walk with the Lord. Trust Him. Obey Him. He will make your path straight. We can't see that at the time. We may face a day of difficulty and wonder how is it going to work out, but we do what we're supposed to do. We pray to Him, we look to Him, we act, we follow in obedience, and He will lead us to the right field. And He will open the right door, and He will bring you, He'll bring us into the sight of the right people. That's what He did with Ruth. That was really the life of Christ. That's how He lived. That's how He grew up. That's what Luke gives us, at least a little bit that he tells us. Any biographical material, really, that we want on our Lord's early days are found in the first two chapters of the book of Luke. And at the end of the second chapter of his gospel, Luke writes in Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Increase in favor with God and you'll increase in favor with God and men. He allows us to find favor with men. And as we grow in our knowledge of Him and trust in Him, we see what Ruth experienced, and that is God's providential care. I think this is one of the issues that this book speaks to, and one of the very practical issues. It's as every book is, about the sovereignty of God. It's certainly there all through it. And because God is sovereign, He can provide for us providentially as we walk by faith, as we trust in Him, as we put ourselves under His wings and trust Him. We certainly see that with Ruth, and we'll see it on our own lives. He is generous, and generous to all regardless of who we are. You see that with Boaz, don't you? Here Ruth describes herself as, "I'm not even one of your maidservants. I'm a foreigner." It didn't matter to him. He saw the character of this woman, and he took care of her as the kinsman. And that's what the Lord does. We see that, for example, in the book of Acts in chapter 10. Remember, Peter is in Joppa. He has this vision where a sheet comes down, and it opens up, and it's these unclean animals, and he hears this command, kill and eat. He protests, but he hears the command again. And finally, he agrees, and the sheet goes up into heaven. And then there's a knock at the door, and it's some emissaries from Caesarea up the coast. Cornelius has sent them. They want him to come because he's been told in a vision to send for Peter. And so Peter, under the instruction of the Lord, goes up to visit these Gentiles. And the gospel is preached. Peter, you remember, doesn't even finish the introduction of his sermon, really. And suddenly the Spirit of God falls upon these people. They speak in tongues, and they are recognized as believers and baptized. And what it shows, what Peter realized it showed from that vision and then from what he saw in the household of Cornelius, is God is not one to show partiality. He loves Gentiles as well as Jews. He loves the slave as well as the free man. He loves the poor as well as the rich, the female as well as the male. He loves them all equally because He loves them all infinitely. That's the God who takes care of us. That's the God of providence. And He'll take care of us even in hard times. He'll take care of us in dangerous times. So we should be wise about what we do. We don't sit around and wait for things to happen. Waiting upon the Lord doesn't mean inactivity. We act according to wisdom and we act diligently. But as we do that, we find God's providence controlling the circumstances, opening doors of opportunity, and we find favor in the eyes of the right people. So, I think that's the exhortation to any of us, all of us. Follow Him, obey Him, and He's faithful to provide. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this example that we have in the book of Ruth. Well, we have many examples. We have the example of Ruth and her humility, her diligence. The way she lived is an example to us. We have that from Boaz and his character. He had the means to provide great blessing to people, and he did that. He was the kind of man who was well-liked and friendly with those who worked for him, and he took care of the needy, as he did with Ruth. But we see so much of You in all of this, that You are a sovereign God who's the God of providence, and You establish our steps as we walk by faith. You open doors of opportunity for us. When we need to be favorably looked upon, You provide that and lead us to that right place. We're simply to trust in You. Help us to do that, Lord, in the midst of difficulty, to look to You, to be obedient, and in so doing, see Your hand of faithfulness toward us. We thank You that You are faithful. We know You will be. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.